Welcome to the Convos with Anita Santiago podcast. Please like, share, subscribe, and review the podcast on all the major platforms, including Apple, Google, and Spotify. If you'd like to reach out to me directly, you can email me at convoscws@gmail.com. That's convoscws@gmail.com. And don't forget to pop over to the website and check out all of our amazing guests. And the website is www.lifeconvos.com. So today I have a special treat for you, but need to put some caveats out there. This is a topic that you may not want to have your kids listen in on. This may be a topic that may trigger you. So we're going to be talking about funerals and death. And I just want to give everybody that fair warning. I have with me today the amazing Tanisha Taylor, and she's joining me. So everybody, welcome Tanisha.
Hello, everyone.
Tanisha, I'm so glad you joined me today. We met actually talking out and about, and she shared some things with me that were just kind of thought-provoking. And I wanted to bring that to you because I feel like we don't talk about preparation and things we need to do at end of life, especially with so many things happening with, you know, people being lost during COVID, and, you know, things going on in St. Louis. And it's a terrible tragedy when we don't think about these things until they happen. So I just kind of wanted to bring Tanisha on because I thought her conversation was extremely enlightening. And hey, I wanted her to enlighten my listeners. So before we get started, Tanisha, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Of course. I am 32 years old. I'm born and raised here in St. Louis. I do have one daughter. She's 9 years old. Her name is Andrea. And currently I'm enrolled at St. Louis Community College, Forest Park, for the funeral directing program. So that's what I'm, you know, doing part-time until I am fully licensed.
So, you know, one of the things that I've found fascinating in just like daily spaces, this is an area of life that we just are often not prepared to deal with. And I just taken from my own family experiences, when that time comes, even if you are expecting it, you often haven't really kind of prepared for it. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding and mystery around, you know, not only who does this work, but how things happen. And one of the things that really got us talking was your passion for this work. There are not many people that can do this type of work. So clue us in, like, what got you interested in working in this particular industry?
What got me started and interested in this industry was the passing of my grandmother. Her name was Carlis Jean Clay. She passed away in hospice at home. She is like any other grandma. You know, everybody's close to their grandma. Grandma's like, you know, second mom, first to some. And she passed away, you know, like I said, in hospice. So we were waiting on the funeral home to actually come and get her from the home to take her to the funeral home. And I was just comfortable, you know, with being around her, knowing that, you know, she had already, you know, gone to God. So me being able to be comfortable around someone who was so close and dear to me, you know, it got me intrigued. I'm like, you know, if I could be around her, I'm pretty sure, you know, I can do this. And then just the funeral home that we used for my grandmother's services, they were just exceptional to our family. And we just, you know, stuck with them throughout the whole process. Just anytime we lost a family member, that was our number one choice. So just the professionalism of the funeral home and just being able to be comfortable, you know, knowing that my grandmother had already passed is what got me intrigued in this industry.
Okay. So when I first started out as a therapist, I did trauma therapy predominantly with victims of crime, but predominantly homicide families. And I read a really interesting book by a professor in New York University. Y'all, I don't remember the name of the book. I'll have to look it up and put it in the show notes, but I really don't remember it. But the book went through like a chronological history of death rituals in the United States and compared those experiences of African Americans to other groups. And it was very interesting to me because I didn't know way back in the day that African Americans could not be serviced by funeral homes. And often those things were taken care of by the family or the church in the person's home. Now, y'all, we're talking about the 1800s. Yeah. We're not talking about 1975. We're talking about 1800, 1700, way back then. And the way we honored those who had passed on was very interesting to me. Like the book was saying, the mourning period used to be like, I want to say it was something like, I don't know if it was 30 days or 60 or 6 months, but it was a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And everyone in the family wore black. So yep. The community would know you were in mourning. And then they could ask you about your loved one and you could talk about them. What I find nowadays that's very interesting is once we've had the service, like, it's like, don't talk about the person. And I'm like, what? And you know, and I know that's the intersection between cultural issues and modernization. Yeah. But putting a person on a t-shirt is not the same as telling their story. So when I come across people who've lost someone, the first thing I ask is, what was their name? Mm-hmm. What did they mean to you? Tell me all about them. Because there's something healing in us being able to tell the story about those people that were close to us. And I could just tell by the look on your face when you talk about your grandmother that she was a very special person in your life. And I'm so glad you could be there with her in that time, because that's another thing we shy away from. We shy away from walking the full path with our loved ones because we don't know how to do it. So you got interested because of the passing of your grandmother.
Yes.
So have you worked in this industry or are you just going to school for this?
I actually was employed at a funeral home for 9 years. So I have stepped away so I can get licensed fully. So I was in the industry just, you know, part time for 9 years because I was still, you know, working other jobs, you know, then I end up becoming a mother. So, you know, I had to focus in on baby girl.
Right.
So, you know, she's older now. So now I just want to give a lot of my attention to what I'm passionate about.
And that's beautiful because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around death. Like, for those of us that are Gen X and the Lion King, you know, the first thing we say is the circle of life. And then we want to break out in a song, you know, the circle of life. And it really is a circle, but we don't treat it that way.
Right.
And with us losing so many young African-American men to violence, and all of a sudden it becomes normal and the humanity of everyone that we've lost is not there because people are not encouraged to speak about it.
Yeah.
People are not free to mourn in a way that's relevant to them. Okay, so that job only gives you 3 days of bereavement leave. That's not enough when you've lost someone that's dear to you. And if it's a questionable circumstance, like violence, that doesn't mean that that family doesn't have the need to mourn in a way that's healing for them. Because really, this is my soapbox, I'm sorry, y'all. But I feel like a lot of our hurt is because we don't honor the humanity and stuff. Like, that's beyond belief. And when you and I were talking, and I was just sharing, you know, sharing some things with you, I just found that finding someone who has a real passion about this, that's a regular person like me, you know, you're not the CEO, you're not the vice president, but you're a person that wants to give back in an area that many people shy away from.
Yes.
So I got a big question for you. So you did this work for 9 years. What was the most, I want to ask you, what was the best part about that 9 year experience, and what was the worst part about it?
I would say the best part for me personally is just meeting the different families, because you're with them at a very vulnerable moment. So they kind of just, you know, fall into your arms. They're dependent on you to create this experience for them. So the best part for me is just meeting the different families. I've even helped service families, and I still keep in contact with them, you know, to this day. And their loved one has passed on maybe 5-6 years ago, you know. So just being able to be there for somebody and help them in this moment, you know, of them losing someone close to them is the best part. The part that wasn't so good to me personally, because I'm a mother, is when we would get, you know, smaller children. It was always, you know, hard, especially depending on the way they could have passed. That was, you know, a hard part as well.
I can only imagine that being so tough. Why do you think, or do you even think this? Oh, I don't even know how to word it, because it's like so much to unpack here. But why do you think we generally shy away or from talking about this topic, or with even within our families? I know in my family, like, death is this thing that if you weren't in the know when it happened, you might not find out for a while because nobody's talking about it. And after the funeral's done, it's like we never say that name again. And why do you think we do that?
I feel like, of course, in the, you know, Black community, household is, you know, some people go by the rule. What happens in your house stays in your house. Don't talk about this outside of the house. Or, you know, if you're one of those families that's superstitious, you don't want to speak, you know, death, you know, so we don't want to talk about it, but it's something that we have to talk about, especially now since it's happening so much and in the blink of an eye. You know, you can be here today, gone tomorrow. Me and my mom, I would say me and her talk about it a lot, you know. And some may call it dark humor, but, you know, we even, you know, joke about it. She, you know, she'll tell me how she wants her services to go. She wants this big, extravagant, you know, funeral when she passes. And I'll joke and tell her, like, girl, I'm getting you cremated and I'm going to Jamaica on your dime. And, you know, so we laugh and joke about that. But, you know, to someone else, this is like, oh, no, you don't joke and laugh about death. But if you don't talk about it now and get your affairs in order, when that time comes, you're overwhelmed because you don't know what to do.
My mom tells me all the time she wants Nelly to come to her services. So Nelly, I have to hit you up. And she want me to play nothing but It's Getting Hot in Here. And I was like, really, mom? And she said, it doesn't matter that I'm in a wheelchair, I want you to rock the joint. And I'm like,
okay, mom. Okay. She said celebration of life.
Right. And why did that make me feel weird? I'm like, who does that, mom? Why would you do that? Like, but I think because we've been conditioned
to be sad.
To be sad. And I've even watched African funeral services on YouTube, and it is a joyous celebration. It's not as, you know, it's not as gloomy, if I can say it's not as gloomy. And they dance and the music is upbeat and people are just smiling and everything. And, you know, the first couple of videos I watched, I was like, well, that's kind of weird. But then, you know, culturally, I feel like they have a more realistic perspective. This is a part of your life. And so that's how we treat it. I feel like in so many ways, all the messaging we get from movies and media and what we see is, you know, it's not a thing to be celebrated. Like happy, we say homegoing celebration and celebration, but how many services have you gone to that it was an actual celebration?
Yes.
I've been to a few, but not very many.
Yeah. New Orleans, they're really another, you know, community that they celebrate. They have second lines, you know. So New Orleans is another one, you know, they party, they really celebrate, you know, life. They, it's a happy, you know, not so much happy moment, but you know, they actually celebrate you.
Mm-hmm. What, do we, I've never seen a service like that in St. Louis. Have you ever seen like a New Orleans type service here?
Yes, actually we, the funeral home that I was working for, we had a young lady, well, she was older lady, but young lady. She passed away. She was from New Orleans. So we did have to get in contact with someone that can provide a second line outside, you know, on the funeral home's parking lot. So they just had, you know, the instrument players there. They did the second line. And then, you know, some of the family, they danced to it, which it was a first for me. And I think a first, you know, for that funeral home as well. But it was just a cool experience to see, honestly, because that was my first time seeing it perform, you know, in St. Louis at any funeral home.
Wow, that's pretty cool, because I feel, you know, another thing I've been seeing that's really strange is, and I say strange because it's different to me, like are the people propped up on a motorbike in a chair, you know, fully dressed. And what I find curious is I feel like that outcropping of expression is born in the suppression that we feel not to do celebrate or conduct the service how we need to. And I would say that every family would be different. Like, no, you know, it's not that we all need to mourn the same way. We're from different parts of the country. We have different traditions. But I feel like that that thematic thing that's happening now, where you see a person might be propped up playing a guitar, or they might be on a motorcycle or whatever, I think that's the family's desire to express to the extent possible of to the extent possible the uniqueness of the person.
Yeah.
They want to know. They want you to know why my person is different from someone else. And I think when you have so many tragedies happening, we get desensitized. You know, look at the movies. I remember, I ain't telling y'all my age, but when I was little, they didn't show blood and stuff in the movies. Yeah. It was implied that you couldn't, they wouldn't show anyone getting hit, kicked.
Yeah.
None of that. And now it's over the top to me.
Yes.
And I feel like, so when we hear someone has suffered, unfortunately, from, you know, gun violence or this or that, we've watched so many Terminator movies that it's just like, well, dad, you know. And the desensitization of just what we feel about life and death. And unfortunately, it's usually when someone that we really, really are close to, that really it impacts us, and we have more of a emotional response. It doesn't mean that you're guilty or anything like that. It just means that you love that person so much that the thought of living your days without them is overwhelming. And just for anyone who's out there that's grieving, that's having trouble with grief, I highly encourage you to find a grief therapist or a grief support group. You can look them up online. They have them at houses of worship. Get some support. You're not alone at all. And I know that there's the kind of grief, like when I work with those homicide mothers, there is a scream.
Yes.
That if you hear it, it will change you as a person. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard that until I started working with homicide mothers that were aching in their soul for their children. And it was at that point that I realized how violence was devastating our communities, right? Because you have all these mothers, and sometimes these incidents are related.
Yep.
So one family loses somebody, and then somebody retaliates, and now we got several people gone, and all these mothers crying and screaming for their children.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you what that did to me. But it also made me more committed to talk about how death impacts our community. And, you know, if we really tried to see humanity in people, mm-hmm. maybe we would have a better respect for life. And that's something you and I talked about intensely.
Yeah.
It's like, why is there no respect for life? Because the way they show it in the movies is just something that comes and goes. We don't treat life as precious anymore.
Yeah. I think a lot of the TV has a impact, the internet, the shows, you know, that we watch. They're good shows, but, you know, like my dad always said, kids are sponges. So with the video games, the music, the TV shows, you know, you see them, you know, committing crimes or, you know, taking someone's life, and they go on about their day like it's nothing. So now they do this in real life. And it's crazy because when I tell people, you know, I like the funeral industry, that's what I want to do. And they say, oh, well, you know, that's a job you're going to have forever. And it's just, you know, that's the reality. Like, that's something that's going to go on forever. And we can't stop it. Some cases we can, but in the end, you know, God has the final say. So, you know, we can't stop it. But we do have the ability to choose how we go about it. You know, taking someone's life, that's not your call.
Well, and then on the flip side of that, let's talk about how we don't take care of ourselves. Diabetes,
yeah.
High blood pressure, kidney failure. Our community is rocked by those things more than any other community. Amputations, dialysis, and all those chronic illnesses that we experience where we watch a person slowly deteriorate, cancer.
Yeah.
And it's really hard, but okay, so let's talk about why am I bringing this up? It's such a morbid, you know, topic. Why am I bringing it up? You know, I like to bring things to the listeners that get us to rethink what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to really, really get sensitive to the fact that this is a part of life, and we really do truly treat life as precious. We celebrate it, we embrace it, and when that person is gone, we can see the contribution that they made to our family,
mm-hmm.
and to the community, and let's walk in that. And I wonder if that would change anything. What do you think?
I feel like it can, you know, it just, I feel like if we talked about it more and it becomes, you know, comfortable for people, I feel like it will eventually just change everyone's outlook.
Would you encourage anyone to go into this field, like for a profession?
Yes, but you have to have sympathy and empathy for people. This is not just something, you know, you sign up for because you get a paycheck. If your heart is not in it, if you know you don't have compassion for people, then this is not something you can do, because you have to realize you're going to deal with people who's grieving. You know, the financial part itself, you know, is overwhelming. So you're going to deal with, you know, some angry families. You're going to have families, you know, that's going to, oh, well, Aunt Jane wants it this way, but Uncle Sam wants to do it this way. You have to deal with confrontation with the families. And those confrontations can, you know, get physical. So you have to deal with a lot of emotions. And if you yourself, as a director, or just anyone, you know, encountering these families when they come into the funeral, if you can't be there for them and, you know, just show them that you care, then this is not something you will be able to do, because you're just going to make the situation worse. And, you know, it's like any other job, you know. You go to McDonald's, the cashier may get mad at you or you get mad at them, but you just never know what they're dealing with. You never know what someone is going through. So you definitely have to be compassionate.
Do you feel like this is a growing industry? I feel like there are so many more funeral homes than when I was growing up. Like, there were like maybe 3 or 4 big ones that you knew of, but now it seems like we have so many more, and it's I'm not imagining that, am I?
No, we definitely have a lot. There's actually a new funeral home that they didn't just open. They're still fairly new, and they're run by, you know, young men that's in their 20s. They're not even 30s, you know, 30 yet, but they're licensed directors, urban undertakers. They're, you know, new and up and coming. So this industry is definitely, you know, expanding, but it's all about the cycle of life. We have a lot of babies being born, and, you know, like, you know, back in the old days, they say, you know, when a life is, you know, given, a life is taken. So babies are being born, and people, you know, are constantly passing away, unfortunately. So this industry definitely is becoming bigger. And then another thing, there's a lot of women that are, there's a lot of women that are actually getting into this industry. This used to be just, you know, like male dominated, but now there's a lot of women getting into this industry.
That's really interesting. And I guess, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking about what you're saying, I'm thinking about when I was little, I went to the funerals, and you're right, they were predominantly men, but you do see a lot more women in different roles.
Yeah.
Depending on what your family experience is. And that's really good, because we know that women bring something great to the table. But it's good to know that the industry is inclusive, and that there's opportunities for people who want to serve and help.
Yes.
And I actually feel like this is one of those areas where service is everything. Like you said, you have to have empathy and sympathy for families, but you're serving in a way that I think is just hard to put into words, because what you're doing is you're walking a family through one of the hardest things that they experience, and they're actually leaning on you, and you're walking with them, and you're encouraging them, and you're comforting them. That's a level of service that you know, that's really extensive. And I'm so glad that we have people out there that are doing that type of work, that are serving the communities, because for African-American communities that have typically been underserved, to know that we have culturally competent services available, but that would be for any group that's in the United States. The United States is a group of immigrants with all different kind of traditions and needs. And so to know that groups can find the type of competent services that they need is also very encouraging. You know, you said something earlier in this episode, I want to go back to it, about the talks that you have with your mom. I think one of the best things we can do is be prepared. Two of my earliest episodes was with Kelly Holland, and we did financial literacy.
Yes.
And we talked about life insurance for the regular person. Like, I'm out here hustling, how do I pay for it? So go back if you want to check those episodes out, because we talked about some real world how to buy for life insurance. Real talk. Get life insurance on your kids. Get prepared, because we just don't know. And the worst thing in the world is for something to happen and we have to do a GoFundMe because nobody was prepared. I think another thing is, you know, we typically don't own a lot of things. I'm not saying, I know some of y'all out there balling, but it's not me.
Army.
Get a book, write down everything.
Yeah.
Write down what you want for your services. Write down, if you don't want your family to waste money on doing a service and you want to be cremated, put it in writing.
Yep.
Put what goes to who, what goes to whom. Yeah, you can do a will, but typically wills are reserved. You know, people get those done when you have a lot of like heirlooms and things that you're passing yes. down. But if you just like me and I don't have nothing, you could write that down on a piece of paper and give it to someone you trust and say, this is how I want things to be handled. And we can get out of all that drama
yep.
that happens on the back end because people are coming in and doing this, that, and the other. Preparation is key. And it's nothing wrong with talking about it. You know, preparing your family, preparing your children to say, hey, if something happens, this is what we do. This is right. how we handle things. Because I've heard people say, you know, especially when it comes to moms and grandmas and dads. My mom, my grandma, my dad was my everything. But they made sure when this time came that I knew what to do. And that gave me so much comfort.
Yep.
Because I didn't have to figure it out. I didn't have to fight with anybody. And yes. it was just like, follow the instructions and I'm good.
Yes.
And so I'm encouraging all the listeners out there to do exactly that. Get your affairs in order. This is 2024. We shouldn't be talking about, you know, y'all need life insurance. You know, get yep. your affairs in order. But life happens sometimes. Life is life.
Yep.
And you don't always have the ability yes. to take care of things like you want to, but work on it a little bit at a time. This is serious. This is important. We are leaving burdens on people that we shouldn't leave. And as responsible adults and for the culture, right? Because when we have to take care of so many people through GoFundMe's, yes. then we're depleting resources. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying anything negative about it, but I'm saying, think about it. If we took care of each other from the jump, and you have insurance on everybody, then when somebody is gone, now you're not at risk of losing your home or your car or any of those things. So very, very important that we take care of those things.
Yeah, so, real quick, Tanisha,
I'm going to give you the last word. I was going to say, I'm going to give you yeah. the last word.
Because I just to piggyback off of like the life insurance, you do have some people there are, you know, in situations where, you know, they may, you know, can't afford life insurance or whatever. Or even if you can, there's another thing that a lot of people, they don't know about, which is called a pre-need. So, you know, if you have one of those aunts, you know, she all about her business, she got all her affairs in order, she knows exactly what she wants, you know, she can go to any funeral home of choice, ask them for a pre-need, and what that entails is you are just picking out your service. You pick out a package, casket, everything. You pick all of that out, and all you do is you make payments on it to the funeral home. That money goes into a trust fund. So at your time of passing, your funeral can either already be paid off, or if there's, you know, amount left over, your family is responsible for that amount. So it won't be, you know, extensive. And like my dad, he's one of those people, he's really simple. He like put me in a pine box and that's it. And I'm like, no, we're not doing a pine box, but I'll get you a nice little cheap package. But, you know, all you do is you pick out that package you want, you sit down with a licensed funeral director, they go over everything with you. In the event that their prices do raise, because it's just like any other, you know, business, prices go up, you have to keep up with the economy. In the event that the price, you know, does go up, like I said, your family is responsible for that remaining balance, or it could be, you know, a situation where you have it paid off. So or if you're one of those people who, like me, I think about my daughter's, you know, future. Mm-hmm. I have life insurance, but I can still do a pre-need. That way, you know, in my time of passing, my funeral can be paid off with the pre-need, and my daughter just have my life insurance, you know, money to do whatever she please. And I hope she doesn't go splurge, but, you know, so That's another really thing. A lot of, yeah. That's another option that we, you know, we don't know about. And I know, and it's a lot of people now are doing direct cremation. Mm-hmm. So
what's that?
That's just basically, at your time of passing, you know, you'll go straight to the crematory, and you know, that's a less cheaper, you know, package. Or you can also do a funeral and then be cremated afterwards. There's different options, different services that the funeral homes offer, that aren't traditional, but they're slowly becoming traditional.
I even saw one. I got a flyer in the mail for a funeral home that's doing, they'll wrap you up around a tree and they'll plant you. And
yes.
I forgot what they called it, like eco-friendly.
Yes.
The pre-need was something new for me. I've never heard of that. And that is really amazing that you can do that. So everybody go check into a pre-need, because there's no reason that we can't start the process of taking care of ourselves. And it sounds like if you do a pre-need, then you're not necessarily worried about paying a life insurance policy.
Yes.
But this is something that can be paid towards, and even if it's not paid off,
they won't have to come out of thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, at the moment. And you can even do it at the cemeteries as well. You can go pick out, you know, a plot, or you can even pick out plots for you and your family and, you know, pay on that. So you just have to get out there, do the legwork, go to these funeral homes, you know, I'm pretty sure they would much rather, you know, you do the pre-need. That way everything is organized and it's, you know, set in stone. There's no arguing with Aunt Katie and Cousin Lucy, because, you know, they want to have this color. You know, it lessens the confusion for the families. It makes things easier. My daughter, her dad, his grandmother actually, you know, she got plots for her son and my daughter's father, but his mom ended up passing, so he gave his plot to his mom, but it was already paid, so there was nothing extra, you know, except for just, you know, confirming paperwork, of course, but there was nothing extra that had to be done. So you can eliminate that stress by getting on top of it now. And then also, if you're like my mom, when I say all she worries about is her finances, you know, you can get that pre-need, be responsible for your own service,
yeah,
and get it paid. You know, if you want to pay more than the minimum amount, you can. You just, or if you have the money, you know, you can just pay it all off and it'll be taken care of.
Okay, listeners, so your call to action is get your notebook together, get your life insurance or your pre-need together at the funeral home and the cemetery, because the land is different.
Yes.
Learn about the different services that are available, what might work for you. Put it in writing. Let your family know. We're going to end it right here with the wonderful Miss Tanisha Taylor. Thank you for listening in to the Convos with Anita Santiago podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and review the podcast on all the major podcast platforms. Pop over to the website, lifeconvos.com, and keep tuning in and happy listening.